The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by Habs Eyes on the Prize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. We are grading the Prospects Edition, and this is the time for someone who is still playing, actually, but he's playing in North America nowadays, and it's Emil Heinemann, and I'm joined by our good friend, a friend of the podcast and a friend of me personally, even if we have never met, Jimmy Hamrin, who writes for Elite Prospects nowadays.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can find Jimmy at Jimmy Hamrin, a very easy Twitter handle, if you want to ask him some questions without going through me. As I said, we're going to talk about Emil Heinemann, and first and foremost, something that I tend to maybe bring up too much, according to my Canadian listeners. Going to camp was probably a good thing. He made his name in Montreal. Everyone was excited. He has a wicked shot, and that was obviously paid a lot of attention to. But he got injured, and he struggled to get decent time at first, and most of all, getting a decent spot in the lineup when he returned to Leksand, right?
He's been most used, I think, of the third line. He hasn't really gotten any power play time or not even the penalty kill. So they have mostly used him on the 5-on-5 the whole season. And I think that is, well, when we see him in the American Hockey League now, I think that could have been a mistake by Leksand, and Leksand hasn't had a good season either, so they didn't have a good power play either, so there probably is something there. But still, I think he had a decent performance in Leksand. I think he created a lot. He produced, I think, at least like 15 points or something, given the usage. I think that's good. So definitely it's something there, something weird there, what happened in Leksand. It's probably good for him to be in the American Hockey League now.
Indeed, and from what we saw, Skrivsmedjan in Hockey Sverige had an interview with Emil Heinemann, and I think Anton will have published his interview with Emil Heinemann as well when this is released. And I presume that he will say the same thing to Anton, that he was actually more raring to go and stay in the AHL, but Leksand wanted him back, which I can understand. But if you get someone back like that, you should probably have used him better. As you mentioned, little to no power play time. And when he was used, he wasn't used to get the shot. He was used to as a net front presence, and he's very good hand-eye coordination and tipping in pucks. But the strength for Emil Heinemann, as we have seen in AHL and we have sometimes seen in the SHL, is really his shot.
Yeah, definitely. And I just before you called me, I just looked at his goals in the American Hockey League, and it's what you expect with, as it would look. So I think, you know, he had a one-timer there from the left circle. And so I mean, I could get, you know, he came in late with Leksand and wasn't with the team from the start. And if you have like a good power play, I could understand it. But they had such a poor result on the power play all season in Leksand. So it was kind of weird that they didn't try his shot more than it did. And So yeah, that was definitely weird. But you know, his play 5-on-5 was good too. I think I looked at some underlying stuff too. I think he's their best forward, Corsi wise. He has plus numbers all over the place. His PDO was low, so probably he could have got some more points if his teammates would have scored more when he was on the ice and so on. So definitely a good season, but it doesn't show on the paper, I guess. And there was some explanations to that with his usage.
Yeah, and also he was sheltered a bit. Let's be honest about that as well.
Yeah,
he was used mainly in neutral zone and defensive zone. Mainly in neutral zone to get that transition, to get the forecheck on that kind of usage. And a lot of this, as we mentioned, we've been slowly walking around this, but a lot will have to fall on Björn Hellqvist's shoulders in this case.
I agree with that. I haven't watched like the whole year or anything, so I haven't followed the process there, how they thought about this. But I think when you look at the numbers and you look at the execution now in the American Hockey League, and you look at Emil's tools as a player, I think they could have done better, definitely.
Indeed, and I've graded him a B- just because of his usage. Looking at other numbers, you have mentioned the underlying numbers. I haven't actually looked at them. But when you compare just points from last year, he's actually stagnated. And I don't think Emil has stagnated as much as Leksand stagnated and didn't know what to do, because and you know SHL as much as I do, that Leksand went all in on two top lines that were there to produce, and when they didn't work, they just kept playing them and hoping they would produce.
Yeah, definitely. But I would also say that Evans probably not, and that's something he is. I think there's a limit to his potential too. I think he isn't, you know, a big offensive driver that can drive his own line. I think if he's used in the top two lines, I think he needs to play with maybe some good playmakers, and I think he needs to play with skilled players too. I don't think he drives offense that way himself, and he's more of a finisher, forechecker, physical, explosive, intense in his play, and I think you can, and that's something good with him too. You can use an up and down the lineup too, but. So there's something to, it's not like they put like the most skilled player in the third line and they change. So
Hellqvist usually use the word greater line. I think that's fair of what it was. I'm compared him and feel free to disagree with me here. Because of his shot, I have always compared him a little bit to Viktor Olofsson. The shots are different. Heinemann's shot can actually go through players. Viktor Olofsson's goes through around players, rather. Neither drives their own line. They are different in kind of forecheck, and Heinemann can go into the corner and forecheck the puck in there and help get it out and retrieve it, whereas Olofsson is maybe a smarter trying to stick lift and intercept the pass between defenders and between defenders and forwards. But a lot of them are similar, I think. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that?
I agree with them, you know, can be used in like the same role. But I think Olofsson is probably smarter offensively. I think his shot is also better timed. It's something. I think it's different to be a scorer in SHL and American Hockey League. You come up to the NHL, the time and space are just less. I would probably say that Olofsson's. I think it's very hard to be as good as Olofsson in those situations when he was. It's diminished a bit, I think, but when he the last few years, I think he really came up and became that one trick pony, but also a bit smarter, I think. I think Heinemann really needs to be a better defensive player too. You can't just chase situation, you know, being in passing lanes, being in anticipate the defensive. I think that's his next step, to become a regular NHL player. I think he needs to be, if he can be a good defensive player, you know, strong on the boards, take the puck to the middle, intercept, receive, retrieve the puck for the team, create breakups and stuff like that. I think he can, he could be a really good like third line player in the NHL that also chips in goals and can be used on the power play if he gets set up by a good playmaker or being that slot presence too. And so I think if you compare the shots, I think the anticipation, the timing, I think is probably better in Olofsson. I can't say that I really watched every game Emil or Olofsson has played this season, but that's my shallow assessment, I guess.
Oh, well, it's a deep assessment for having 30 seconds to come up with it.
I have watched these players over the years, so it's not like that's where my thought of that.
Yeah, I like the fact that you point out his defensive attributes or non-skills in some ways. But what we've seen on the big ice is that he chases the puck. He tries to anticipate where the puck will come. But usually it takes a little bit of a moment and then he's not correct in his assessment anymore. His hockey IQ isn't maybe as strong as Olofsson, as you said. Or some other players. It doesn't mean that he's a crappy hockey player. Let's be honest about that. But that's not his strength. I've spoken with scouts and with former hockey players, and they say that it can go two ways. Really, he doesn't have as much eyes to chase on, and he doesn't have to chase as much eyes really either. And but on the other hand, the game is so much faster in North America. Do you think he can even that out? And how long would it take in the AHL to get there?
I think he has the tools. I think he's explosive enough. I think that type of game reading, I think you can learn if you want to learn it, if you want to study the game. And I think that's how Montreal should work with him. To be that, the goal should be to get him to be like a third line forward. so I think it's possible for him to develop that. I mean, I think he is tonight 21. I think it's definitely he can learn that. Maybe he needs probably a year in the AHL if it. He probably won't score every game like he's done now, but I think he could become, if he can focus on learning the defensive side of the game, and as you said, break up plays more, reading the situation, to time the situations too, to read where the defenseman is going to go and not just chase the play. And as you said, I think it's, he would benefit from the smaller rinks, and that's probably what we see too with his goal scoring now in the American League. His shot, when he has the puck, he's always closer to the goal than when he's in the SHL. If he's out with the boards on the big ice, he has further to the goal. So I think that has helped him too. So I can only see pluses with a player like this playing on smaller ice.
I will actually ask you one final question, but obviously it's not about Emil Heinemann. But you wrote for Elite Prospect just the other day and about Adam Engström. And let me see what you wrote here. Adam Engström was one of Rögle's very best players at the end of the season. His ability to open up space in the offensive zone was so fun and impressive to watch. For opponents, less so. They struggled to contain the deceptive skilled Canadians prospect when he combined his mobility and stick handling skills on the attack. And this is Engström's game. He's good reach, four-way mobility, and offensive instincts. He used those tools to play the best hockey any Swedish defenseman from the 2022 NHL draft, showing the most development in the process. It looks like he has the potential to be an NHL player a few years down the road. And that is really the question. How many years do you think? Because he has been so impressive since the end of January.
Yeah, and it's been, I think he started the season really good. But then he had a bit of a slump there in the middle. I think I didn't think his World Juniors was that. I've expected more from him there.
He was but also used differently there, though.
Yeah, that's true, too. But just the way he played in the playoffs, too. I mean, it's just like, wow, there's he found space there, and he found space there. It was like a poor man's Rasmus Dahlin there on the blue line when he deked there. And so as you read, I think he's very exciting. And I think he's, I don't know how many years, I think it's been this season, his development has been so fast from last season. He was very interesting, I think. I think they got him in a good spot. And the developments really show that too. He could have been a first round pick, actually, I think. So that's always hard. But I don't think he steps up in next year. I think he could, at least one more year. But if it takes two, it takes two. He needs to learn a small rink game too. So it's always tough. He needs to, you know, I think the rush defense, I think we've seen a lot of defensemen from Sweden has had trouble with that when it stepped over. I think everyone thought that a guy like Nils Lundqvist would easily get into the NHL right away. He struggled and he got traded, and he's been pretty good this season. But Victor Soderström has a problem with that too. The rush defense, the Arizona defenseman, and I think
even Rasmus Dahlin had it at the beginning.
Yeah, he stepped in though, he was the first overall pick. But
I'm saying like he struggled with it. It wasn't as easy as maybe we thought. It wasn't as dominant as we thought a first round pick would be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a skating thing, and it's also reach thing, but it's very much a hockey sense thing in learning how the game comes at you. It comes so much faster in North America than it does in the Swedish Hockey League, and you have more space in the Swedish Hockey League and everything like that. So I think that is a key for him. So, but at least one more year. That's a long answer to that question. It's very hard to just say, oh, he'll be ready 2025 in December.
In August.
Yeah, exactly. So one more.
You've been listening to Jimmy Hamilton of Elite Prospects. Find him on Twitter. One of the good guys out there. Will answer questions when asked, if you ask him politely, obviously. Thank you, Jimmy. It's a pleasure having you on. And I hope to have you on a few more times this year.
Yeah, thanks for having me.